How are you, Greg?
I'm very well, Tom. Yes. How are you?
I think we're both tired.
Yeah. This is the first time we've ever podcasted in your office.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is.
I like my comfortable chair.
We've been quiet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I...
We're kind of whispering, aren't we?
We are whispering.
I don't know why we're whispering.
We are. Not meant to say when you're podcasting, by the way.
That's true. Nice. Or when you're lawyering.
Oh, really?
Because it's not a good... If you're up there in court and you're like, I remember when I used to be in court, that some of the solicitors, I used to be a lawyer, they would make fun of kind of newer lawyers by counting the number of they did.
Oh, yeah.
So I try to, reduce the levels. It's hard though when you know you're not supposed to do something, yep. You know?
At school they used to do a thing where you had to tell a story, like what you did on the weekend without saying And when you said they would time it.
Yeah.
You'd lose or whatever.
How'd you go on that?
That's so funny because I vividly remember that it was my turn and I went,
Oh, really?
And they were out. And
then I had my sirens out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I learned from that, and the next time I did very well.
Really?
Because I'm doing it. I can talk purposefully, you know?
Yeah.
I can talk and think about what I'm saying and not say,
Yeah.
But it was just that instinct to go,
Well, that's kind of what we do, isn't it? I mean, English speakers, it's just the word you put in when you're just thinking about things or when you're nervous, I guess.
I gave it some thought once. This is, hey, we think about things.
Sure.
For some reason, I was thinking about why we say, And I realized that, we're talking now.
Right.
And if I was to stop... If I was to think about something, so I'm going to go... I had this idea for a photo.
Mm.
And it was... And I say nothing. I think the other person wants to jump in and talk.
Mm. So you want to fill that gap with a word.
Fill that with a word.
They know you're still talking, basically.
And that's what an does, I reckon. Mm. Or it's part of job. So I'd be like, I had this really great idea for a photo.
Because I would have cut in right then.
Otherwise, you would have
I don't care about your photo. Here's my story.
Classic Tom.
Classic, yeah. Red Panda. Hey, we're referring to red pandas quite a lot.
No one knows what it is.
Well, I was thinking maybe we should explain what a red panda is. Because I think we've referred to it in at least
you have,
two
I know
podcasts.
You have.
Okay.
I've heard you say it.
So let's do an example of Red Panda.
It usually would have been you Red Pandering me.
Yeah.
That's how it started.
It did start like that.
I'll start.
Okay.
And you just do what you do best.
I sure do. All right.
Now I have to think of a suitable example. Oh, yeah. Okay. So classic example would be, hey Tom, how are you? Hello.
Oh, great. So good.
I got something to tell you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yes. No, last week, I went to Fiji for 3 days.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Greg, 2 weeks ago, I went to Fiji for 8 days. And it was...
Did you?
And I also went to about 4 other countries near Fiji for 8 days.
Did you really?
That's a classic red panda.
So you've made me feel like...
To deconstruct... Yeah. So Greg has been really excited to tell me about... some trivial thing that has happened in his life. And I've then turned around and just totally made anything that... the thing that he wanted to tell me just seem just minuscule compared to it. And the reason it's called a red panda is that the very first time this happened... You look really confused.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't remember.
It was easy. It was red panda. Because you said you went to a zoo and you saw red pandas.
Oh,
and I was like,
right.
Well, I saw them in China. that's why it's called, by the way, true.
Did Kat do that? I think Kat said she'd seen red pandas at the zoo.
Oh, right.
And you said, I saw them in China.
Shut down.
And we were like, Jesus, Tom.
What an idiot.
But then it was later in the car.
Yeah.
And this is the... I remember the first usage of red panda.
Oh, as in the word to describe.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah. Okay. You were driving. Right. I was in the passenger seat and the girls were in the back. And I didn't even remember what it was, but you went up to me. And I was like, did you just red panda me? And boom, red panda was born.
It's a great expression.
It's not... If you are famous for being... I'm talking to you, the listener. If you red panda people, you should consider your ways. And instead of red pandering, you need to ask them questions.
Actually, but there's another way you can do it. It's just called a...
You dare red panda my red panda.
No. It's... Wow. That was inception. I'm going to explain the other alternative.
There's a meta red panda.
Hey, Greg. Can you... What do you mean by ask them questions?
Oh, God. Nice one.
Boom.
You just did it.
I put
this
the
is
red...
total meta red panda.
Meta red panda. Okay, now what do you mean by asking?
Well, we are, it's a meta analysis. We're
I'm just saying, wow.
About asking questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Tom, you give me a quick example of something amazing you've done.
Last week I saw 20 dolphins jumping in the ocean at once.
Okay, good. Now, so me as the listener, I have a choice. I could red panda him and say, oh, mate, I was in Ningaloo Reef and we saw humpback whales just 20 meters. Actually, this is a true story. But anyway, or I could be a nice guy and say, oh, hey, Tom, that sounds really cool. Tell me more about it. How did you feel? What did you, were the dolphins like jumping out of the water? What happened?
Which would make me feel great because I feel like you do actually care about my story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is the opposite of what happens when you red panda something.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it could be called a blue panda or something.
Well, there's also the brown... Is it the brown bear or the black bear?
Oh, what was that?
That's when you... It's basically when you want to say a parallel story, which also contributes to the
general
conversation.
Oh, you invented this one. Yeah.
Well, I just feel like there are... It's because you were throwing red panda about like it happened all the time. And I was like, hang on. Well, there needs to be a distinction between... Yeah. Yeah, I do it a lot. There needs
to be, you're much better.
I am. There needs to be a distinction between a pure red panda and just... something which
like
furthers the conversation but is not a one-up sort of thing.
Sure.
Because I think people actually, to be honest with you, I don't realize when I do it.
Because you can't just be asking questions back and forth all day.
Because
there has to be some sort of...
Because that's not real life.
There has to be a point to what you're talking about. Yep. So at some point, someone needs to say a statement of some kind.
Exactly.
So if it's sort of not one-upping, just assisting the conversation.
Well, that's what conversations are.
A conduit to that's further what, interest.
It's like if I said to...
What is it? A brown bear?
I don't
or a
know
black
if it's brown or black.
I like black beers.
It's like if I said to you, like, I totally saw a Yeti.
Yeah. And like, I'd say, perhaps first, is it? Do I have to ask a question first?
No. See, I think an appropriate response with that to be would be like, oh man, now I'm on the spot and I can't think.
Okay, wait, you saw a Yeti. I could say something like, oh, once I saw a Sasquatch, what happened?
Totally.
Was it like...
Because that's making me go, oh, sweet, he's like interested in my... He's got something to add to the thing I said. Whereas a red panda would be, I ate Yeti in a burger at in
after I speared him.
Exactly.
Because he was hunting me and I...
And, yeah, exactly.
The hunter became the hunted. Okay, good. I think we've cleared really, you know, made some headway.
So now we can use red pandas whenever.
Like I see. So now people know when we say red panda.
We know
so when you hear
about.
Tom, seriously red panda me, you can.
I'll try and hide at one red panda in this conversation, and the listeners can see if they can pick it up. I'm gonna prep this red panda right now. It's gonna
Ooh,
be awesome.
Sounds good. Now this is you don't know I'm gonna ask you this, but I'm Ooh, going to anyway.
I love it.
I've got a bit of a choice to make in January. We are going to be living in a house. There's, I don't know where exactly yet. It's either going to be we're renting or there's a chance we could be staying with my parents for a little while. The choice I have is I could set up an office at home or I could set up an office at my dad. My dad's an architect and I could set an office up at his premises. I was just going to ask you, what do you think about the option of having a photo... Not a studio per se, but just a photo
a place
of
to
an
work.
Office outside of home.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
I think that if you want to do it, then it's awesome. I don't really... Like, for me, I don't care. I love working from home. I love the fact that I don't have to, like, dress up. Mm. That I have coffee there, I have food there. I don't have to, you know, pay extra utilities and whatever. But in this case, you wouldn't have to pay extra utilities, would you?
No, I'd pay them a little bit, but no, there'd be nothing. It'd be fine.
I don't know. I just think when all your work is on site, you know, at a venue or whatever like us, then there's not much point. And I know guys who have had little offices and then just given them up after a while because they just realized that the rent kind of didn't really make sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really like. There was a period I didn't like working at home because I wanted to like leave the house and go to work.
Sure.
Try and regulate that day-to-day. Because, you know, it's hard in our jobs. Sometimes it feels like it spills over into our personal time.
Yeah.
On the couch, watching TV or whatever, check emails. Oh, before you know it, you're working.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess it's one of those each to their own sort of things.
Yeah, I think you're right that there are two ways to look at it. It's nice to have that separation.
Mm.
But I haven't had this yet because I've always had a home office. I would hate to be in a position where, for me, just to quickly do a few things... on the computer, whatever.
I have to go
and do it.
But you still you still have your laptop with you, right?
Well, I can bring my laptop. I can do whatever I want. So I suppose that, wouldn't be such an issue.
How far is
But if I've got my laptop, I'll probably just lie in bed and work rather than actually get up
I think you've just answered your own question.
I think I have. Yeah. So that's it. So plus, would there be any advantage?
No.
Maybe if you're going to put in a good day of editing. But you see, the other thing is, if I'm going to be there with all a bunch of like my dad's work guys, I'd have to have headphones on the whole time. If the phone rang, I'd have to be a little bit careful about who I'm talking to, the volume.
So it's not just your dad there. He has guys.
He has like an office.
I think you've just answered your own question. I'm going to say.
So could we do could we make a sweeping statement that for a wedding photographer without a photographic studio, home office probably is ideal?
I think we can safely say that. But obviously the caveat is unless you want. Like I also know some guys in Sydney who still work from like co-share spaces.
Yeah, right.
And I can totally see the appeal, because you do leave the house in the morning. It gets you out. You sit down. There are other creatives around you and it forces you to work. And you sit there and you network and you refer work to each other. And it's an awesome environment. Plus it's fun. It's like you're hanging out with like-minded people.
I get that.
Right? It's fun. And also, I don't know, it can get a bit lonely sometimes just working from home by yourself. That's true. But I definitely think we can say it's not necessary.
Mm.
Like none of those guys need that. You can totally work from home. You'll get the same amount of inquiries. Okay, you don't maybe have a place to see people, but whatever.
Cafes.
Like, yeah, I haven't had a place to see people for 7 years. Exactly. And I still,
there are far nicer places than my home or any office out there.
Yeah.
And it only costs a coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Or a juice. And no client has ever poo-pooed. I've never had someone be like, oh, you don't have a studio?
No, never. Well, no, I think maybe I have, but then it was just their expectation was just they didn't have a clue.
Maybe it was more just like surprise, not surprises in a negative way, but it was more just they made an assumption. Mm-hmm. And when you told them, they're like,
photographer, oh, I'm a studio.
Yeah, yeah, because, there's a kind of stereotype that we work out of studios or whatever.
Sure.
But where are you? We don't need them, do we?
No.
How can we just save our money?
The cool thing about, I just had a thought, the cool thing about cafes, and I'm probably just a complete idiot for not realizing this sooner, and everyone out there is going to be like, but we can, okay, so it's all about image, right? But no, I'm just, being flippant. Being a photographer, it's all about image, it's all about being cool, it's all about people liking you and, selling, yourself. The quality of the cafe you meet people at says a lot about.
It actually does. Like, you don't just meet them at the fish and chip shop. Like, meet me at old Polly's, I don't know what that is.
Grill house. No, deep fry.
Deep fry joint. Yeah. Or like, meet you at the Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's like, I want to meet you at the hipster dot.
You got to find the most indie, place, to, like, all old bicycles on the wall, like, cold brew things everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Broken bicycles lying around.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So what do you think you'll do?
Well, after that little pep talk, staying like a home office sounds pretty good to me.
It's living the life, man. It's awesome. How's your weekend?
The one just gone?
Yeah, man.
It was good. I went to Wildwood, which is down, you know Wildwood.
Oh, I've been to Wildwood.
Down in Kangaroo Valley, which is in New South Wales, about 2 hours south of Sydney, would you say?
Yeah, about that.
Roughly. Oh, it's really nice. Beautiful venue. Awesome. And the people that run the venue, Rob and Tony, they were really nice. There was this one moment where I was doing the big group shot and I had everyone in this certain spot on a rock, whatever. If you've been there, it's this rock and it's under these huge, big, tall trees, but it's right near the edge of a cliff and I couldn't get elevated. So I just got the whole group ready, all set. And I was like, hello, everyone. Right. I'm going to be holding my camera up like this. And I turn and Tony, the lady, she's got the step ladder right next to me. It's like, Tony, look at you. So stand on the step ladder.
This is a group photo. This is of everyone.
This is the everyone, huge, big, whole party group shot.
Can I ask you a question?
You can.
We touched on this before we started.
Oh, yes, right.
Do you do a group photo at every wedding?
Yeah.
Even if you're not asked to?
Yes.
So at the end of the ceremony...
Ceremony, drinks and nibbles, hugs and kisses.
And you're going to go to the bride and you'll say, hey, let's do a group photo.
Yeah, I will. And you know what? Until we talked about it for like 5 seconds this morning and then we said, let's not talk about it.
Mm.
I had never thought that it was something you could skip ever. In my whole life, I never.
Hate them.
Yeah, it's okay to hate them. I just never. I think they're important.
Mm.
Well, who cares what I think? It's what I do. Like,
Oh, no. What you think is, no is right important for your... No,
there's,
totally.
Yeah,
I agree.
There's no is. It's
no,
just
no,
no,
absolutely.
This is how I do it.
I was just curious because I guess, you know, when you're in your own mindset for ages and you don't think there's another... I was because I'm the absolute opposite. I hate doing them and I'll actually discourage them. If there's any whiff of them, like yesterday I had the celebrant and the wedding coordinator at the venue say, oh, when are you going to do the group photo? I was like, what? I'm not. Because unless the bride says to me, we want to do a big group photo, in which case I kind of die and part of me dies. And I'm like, oh, because I hate how long they take to set up. And no one ever puts them in their albums. And there's always people with sunglasses on and looking away. And then I always find that the time it takes me to organize them is not worth it for the payoff. Anyway, but it was this interesting, it always interests me how, because, you know, as photographers, we never get to shoot with other photographers. So there are, unless we're doing second shooting.
No, you're quite right.
What I mean is that most of my friends who are wedding photographers, I've never seen them shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And little things like that, that maybe you don't realize that there are really different ways to do it. And like you said, both equally as valid, you just don't know until you're like, I didn't kind of think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you want me to go over what I do for my group shot?
I'd love that. And I think that would be also beneficial to other people, maybe. So, and probably to me as well.
Okay, well, it started right from the beginning. There's that moment after the ceremony when everyone's like, hey, like you just said, hey, are you going to do the group shot? And I realized, I need to like just absolutely, I need
you
to address the
to
whole crowd.
Take
here.
Charge,
And the school teacher, well, I've been doing photography longer than I did teaching, but being able to address a crowd, that's a huge skill. Well, I don't know if it's a skill, but it's something you got to do.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to the group shot, first of all, I find the spot that I want. And if I haven't been to the venue before, I'm always kind of on the lookout for a large shaded area. If not, then, I don't know, somewhere where they're not staring at the sun or whatever. If I can get them all in the shade, that's a bonus. That's really good. And then I'm thinking I need to be a little bit elevated, and I'm thinking if I use my 35mm, how far away can I get and how big's the group? Now I've got the 16 to 35mm, which makes that a little bit easier.
Yeah,
but still, if I don't want to be at 16mm doing a group shot.
Yeah.
Maybe 25 or something. So that's cool. So then I say to the bride and groom, right, well, I'll say, like, okay, blah, 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 something about this is what I'm thinking for the group shot. I'll come and get you in about 5 minutes, and then usually I'll talk to the MC.
Right.
And I'll say, hey man, how's it going?
Yeah,
Mr. MC,
hook me up.
Yesterday, his name was John, and he was actually a professional MC.
Oh man, that makes things so much easier.
He was good too.
Yeah,
John Spitz, I believe.
Oh, Johnny. Come on.
He gave me his business card.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
was he immaculately dressed in a tuxedo?
Absolutely.
That guy is a legend.
Yeah, he's the bomb.
He wins like. I don't know.
Yeah, I know, because it's on his business card.
It's like Southeast Asia's best, like...
2013, 2014, 2015.
Oh, he is a lovely
number
man.
Number one wedding performer,
I think
it was.
Yeah.
Okay, get this. I turn up to the venue. He's there, guitar, all set up.
He's awesome.
But you know when you turn up and you see... Well, you know him, but I've never met him.
Yeah.
And you see the MC/DJ/whatever music guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, is he a friend?
Yeah.
Who is this guy? Does he know what he's doing? And John and I caught eyes, and I gave him a wave, not yet. And he came down, and he said something to me, and I said, okay, are you MC and music? And he goes, yeah. And I goes, and I said to him, have you done it before?
He's like,
he was really good. He was like, yeah. And then later he gives me his card, and I was like, oh. And I went up to him, and I was like, man, I'm so sorry.
I don't know how that guy, wow. He does, not only has he not, his schedule is insane. Like, he's like flying to like, there's a country in Southeast Asia that he goes to quite a lot. I don't know whether it's Malaysia or might be Bangkok. I don't know. He's playing all through. Yeah, he's incredible.
He was amazing. Yeah, he was singing on the guitar, and he's obviously got loops going.
How good is his voice? So smooth.
Really good.
You just want to you could just listen to it all day.
Just like lie.
It's like, warm
in
honey.
A bit of his voice.
So comfortable.
So I had him there. So I go to the MC and I say, okay, pal, this is your. Okay, because assuming, and in New Zealand especially, most MCs are friends, and this is the first time they've ever done it, and they're looking for any help they can get.
Yep.
And
they're kind of packing it a little bit, probably.
And I say, okay, mate, this is your chance right now to address the whole crowd and say who you are.
Yep.
If there are any, if there's housekeeping, toilets, whatever, this is your chance to say that. Then you're going to say, this is the photographer, Greg. He's going to set up the whole group shot, and then basically... You can just say, Greg's going to say something.
Yep.
And then I say, hello, everyone. Yeah. Yep. I want you all over here for the group shot. make your way over now, please. Now, this is how I set it up, and it works really well. It's nice and quick and easy.
And you don't, there's no microphone, right? It's often just, you have to yell.
I'll step up and use the mic if
there is one.
If it's easy, yeah, but I'll just shout otherwise.
And I've often thought about, no joke, taking a megaphone to weddings. Often thought about, well, this is when I, back when I did a lot of group photos, but yeah, I reckon having the car, a stepladder and a megaphone.
I just thought of The Simpsons when Bart's got the, is it the MC Hammer, the Hammer Time MC Hammer megaphone? Right. Is that it?
Oh man, that's an old episode, eh? I can't remember.
And they're like, what is it? Is it Homer in the back of the car? I can't remember.
What's he
and
saying?
Everyone's dancing along behind the car?
Oh, wow.
What is that?
Now I need to check that out. So Homer has it.
Simpsons MC Hammer megaphone.
I'm sure
it's MC Hammer.
Megaphone. Testing megaphones?
No. That's Bart's when Bart lines testing. Them up. That's a different one.
Homer Simpson megaphone. Oh, no. Okay, yeah. Simpsons megaphone Hitler? No, that's definitely not it. Okay. Well, there's like 100 here. Testing Adele. Bart destroys town with megaphones.
No. There it is, the Rapmaster 2000.
Oh, right. Oh, I remember.
So Homer has the Rapmaster 2000, and he's making announcements, and everyone's dancing along
gold,
behind him.
Gold.
Okay, so yeah, you could get the Rapmaster 2000 and make announcements at weddings. That'd be totally cool.
So good.
Anyway, so here's my big thing, right? I get the bride and groom and bridal party, and I just put them all at the front, and I say to everyone, this is the front. You need to be behind them. Mm-hmm. And then people like to go way back behind. So I say, no, come up,
close,
fill the space. I get on my my soapbox and I stand wherever I need to stand. And I say, okay, everyone, the first photo, piece of cake, just give me a nice smile, nothing fancy, 3, 2, 1, bang, 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 right. Second smile, I want everyone to give me a cheers or a thumbs up if you're not holding glass. What have you got? 3, 2, 1, boom, boom, boom. Then the third photo is kind of third and fourth. This is the last.
Yeah.
I say, right, third photo, bride and groom are going to kiss. I want everyone to give them a thumbs up, whatever you've got. Yesterday I said the metal hand sign.
Nice,
whatever
nice.
You've got.
Yeah.
Cheers. Okay. And then I say the deal is it's got to be a 10-second kiss because I got to use two cameras.
Oh, yeah, right.
Being the wide.
And you like to get along for that. I've seen you do that.
Yeah. 10-second kiss. So they start kissing. Everyone's like, yeah. And then I'm like, keep going. And they're like, and so then I'm like,
it does loosen everyone up as well.
Yeah, it gets everyone kind of loose. And then I say, okay, everyone, that's it.
Yeah.
Group shot's done. I say, we'll come and get you soon for the family photos.
Yeah.
They are going to be over here.
Yeah.
Stay around. See you later.
Oh, man, I'm not going to lie. That sounds horrendous.
Yeah,
it's good that you do it. It's good that you do it.
It's kind of like now, you know what it's like. Once you get in a rhythm, that's just it. And that's what I do. Mm. But when I look at the photos, I value those photos. Mm. I see them, and because I use the 35 or wider for the big one, but then I, when they're kissing and everyone's cheering, I quickly switch to the 135.
Mm.
I get a nice shot of just their kind of like upper body, them kissing, and everyone around cheering.
Mm.
It's one of my, it's a shot, I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites, but it's a shot that every wedding I'm like, ah. Oh.
Yeah.
Because they're kissing and everyone's cheering around them. That's a cool shot.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And
it's a good time also for me to stand up and be like, hello, I'm Greg.
I'm Greg.
I'm the photographer. And for what it's worth, I think if people like what you do, it's nice that
keep
you can...
Keep doing it, man.
You can, no, but it's nice for you to have that moment where you can address the whole crowd and say, hello, I'm Greg, the photographer.
I have
a strange accent. I talk like this weird... Oh, no, I don't know what that accent that was.
Yeah, that was weird, yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
Now you know.
Sweet.
So you're going to be like, oh, that's nice, Greg, but...
Yeah, I'm not doing that. No, it's great. Like, and it works, and people obviously like it. But yeah, no, I'm still going to be like, no. If they say I really want one, I'll be like, okay.
All right. I'll just pretend.
And then I like drag my feet. And
pretend I'm enjoying myself.
It never takes as long as I think it will, but I just, yeah.
How about when family photos go on forever?
Yeah, I really try and discourage that as well. In fact, I haven't really had any lately where that's happened.
Mm.
I try and be really pushy about that as well.
Sure.
Try to cut that off as soon as I can.
And people, I actually don't mind, but the part that I do mind is when I go to edit them later and it's like, oh my God, crop, straighten.
Yeah.
Whatever the, you know, brightness, da 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 da. Brightness, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about.
Brightness.
And then I'm like, oh yeah, and they've only got 50 family photos for me to do this.
The way that I found that, because my main concern that part of the day, like, it's not the doing of the family photos. I actually think that's a really important part of the wedding day.
Sure.
It's the time that it takes when we could be doing other things. And usually that's happening when we should be, well, when our timeline says we're going to be out shooting portraits.
2 hours, yeah.
Okay, or whatever. So, for example, yesterday was a good example. I only had 45 minutes for portraits. In fact, I would have had less, probably 35 minutes, which 2 years ago I would have really freaked out about, but now I'm just like, you know what? I don't need more than that. Like, that's fine. I mean, I just got to be on my ball.
Yes, game.
So, it got to the point where we had agreed that I would take them for portraits and there were still family photos happening. And at which point I kind of say, okay. And we'd already done the allotted ones. They were just extra ones that they wanted.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I was like, look, so I make a point of, without being too dramatic, saying, you know, I highly advise you to do the rest of these later on in the evening.
Do you start it with as your lawyer?
Yeah. It's my position. I submit. And I make sure I remind them, I'm here till, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock. Like, we can do any of these. You can do 100 of these later. But every minute you're here is a minute you're not out there.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, people are like, yeah, sweet. And also, it's not fun for them. Like, standing there while all these family members are coming in and out, and then Auntie this is like, oh, can we get this? And you look and at the bride's face, and she's like,
someone's gone off
to
the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. And she hates it. So I reckon, honestly, getting them away from that is like the best thing. They have a drink in their hand, they're leaving. And hey, I want to ask you a question. Because one of the many comments we had from our last, I think you put it on Facebook from the last episode. Many, many comments that we had to sort through.
Oh, yeah.
Many, many comments. One of them was from my friend, Mr. Chris Jallard, who's a wonderful photographer. And he had a question about managing large groups. And I think, well, he had a bunch of questions, but you were just talking about managing large groups. So I thought that might be a flow on into bridal parties.
Yeah, sure.
What's the biggest, do you recall what the largest bridal party was that you have had to deal with?
I think I've had 6 and 6. So that's...
Mate, that's nothing.
14.
Here we go. I've had 10 and 10. I've had 22 in total. Now,
red panda.
That was a red panda. Boom.
You need your thing.
Ah, damn it. That's okay. I'll get it ready for
hang
next
wait, because I actually lied, actually.
Hang on.
My biggest, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
My biggest ever bridal party was...
Wait, can you just think about that a second?
I'm just really trying to remember now. I'm very...
It's hard to remember. Okay.
I think I remember.
What is it?
My biggest ever bridal party was, let me think, 7 guys.
I did not expect that.
This is where I'd be like, I can't work like this.
There we go. Okay.
All right. What, so, no, 6 and 6. So plus 2, that's 14. What's yours?
Yeah, 22.
What?
No, literally.
10 and 10.
In Canada. So, you know, you see on like...
Oh, online. I do know
you see online and you see the groom has like... And you're like, come on, that's got to be some sort of... No, it's true. And actually, it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah?
It just so happened that this group of 22 people, this is including the bride and groom, not only were they all lovely people, but they just paid attention. It's like they were very, very attentive to the bride and groom. And the bride and groom... So, if they were talking and the bride was like, hey, guys... Immediately, they would stop whatever they were talking about and they would pay me attention. It was one of the easiest bridal parties that I've ever shot.
Amazing.
Weird, right?
Yeah. You'd think there'd be a prankster or some sort of, you know...
No, they were awesome. But usually it's not like that. Like, usually when it's in Australia and I have, like, let's say, any more than 4 and 4. So, bride and groom +4 and +4. So, 10.
Yeah.
Any more than that, including that number, is really difficult. No. What do you do? What do you do if you have a rowdy bridal party?
Oh, well, okay, rowdy is one thing. Let's just talk about a big bridal party because, you know...
They often do go hand in hand, right?
Do you think so?
Oh, man. The larger, the rowdier. I suppose the
odds are there's going to be a rowdy person in there and then they're going to encourage the others to be more rowdy.
It's just that it's not their intention. I think it's just the more people you have, the more it seems like a mini party and the less and the more they're just bouncing off each other and they're G-ing each other up, you know? Yeah,
sure.
So when I say loud equals rowdy, that's what I mean. It's just the more people, the fewer people, the less like natural conversation there is because there's just fewer people.
I'm just trying to look at the specific question. Do's and don'ts, bridal parties on location shoots. Okay, the nice thing about a big bridal party is you can smash a lot of that allotted time with the standard photos you need, the group shots, the individual shots, the everyone mix and match shots, da 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 da.
Yep.
And they're all, I mean, they're not kind of maybe the favorite photos you want to be taking at a wedding. They're not the creative photos.
Mm.
But it's nice that you can spend some time and do all those. Sometimes I feel if you've got a very small, like if you just got the bride and groom and one each, one, so that's a total of four, you can do all the boring photos so quickly, and then it's kind of like, wow, you really need to think on your feet for all the other stuff. You've got a lot later. Of time. You've got a lot of time, yeah. Mm. And also your photo count is going to be low. Like if you're one of these people, which I do, you guarantee you're going to offer them so many photos for the day.
Mm.
And they've just got one in their bridal party
each.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're like,
yeah, your overall photo shoots, photo count is going to be low. But for managing a big group, to be honest, I don't know. Maybe it's the teaching background. I don't really have any problem with it. Mm. I don't mind telling people like to, not to shut up, but I'll be like, I will be direct,
mm.
but also then, not in a joking way, I'll be direct, but I'll do it in a way where everyone realizes that person just needs to listen. Not where it's me against the group.
No, yeah.
But I'll say to one, go, hey, come on, what's going on here, pal? I'm talking.
I was going to ask you an example. Like, so, let's say you've got them all in a line.
Yeah.
The girls, more often than not, are the ones that are slightly more attentive and calmer.
I agree. Yeah.
And then you've got the dudes who are a bit hammered, maybe a few beers in, and they're just not really listening. They're having fun, which is great.
Yeah.
What do? You've got one or two guys who just won't shut up and never look at you, and they're just really
hard. I think the solution is you want to get the rest of the bridal party on your side.
Right.
So that like the best man or the groom
says,
you need to motivate them to bring these guys into line.
Good idea.
Yeah. So the whole, now, of course, right now I can't think of how to do that, but I guess you'd say something like, hey, look, and I'm aware that I don't want to come off sounding like a dick right now, but you've got to say something like, hey, come on guys, like every minute we're here is a minute you're not up drinking.
Yeah.
You know, we can't get back to have another beer or something like that. With context, you'll say it with a bit more, in a more convincing way, but you just got to make it, so they're on your side, pretty much. Like, come on, guys. Like, every minute we're here is a minute we could be up, drinking, relaxing. Mm. Let's just get through this. Boom, boom, boom. And then what else can you do?
It's funny. I've found with bridal parties here in Australia, the best way to do it with boys is go, oi, shut up. I just say, oi, put your shit down and shut up. They seem to really, they're like, oh, yeah. They seem to really like it.
How I feel too.
It's kind of like, how do you talk to your mates? Like, if you're out at the, if you're out at the pub and your mates are being a dick, what do? You say, oi, shut up. I kind of feel it's the same way with them.
And then, the thing is that if you say that, and then the other guys are going to be like, they're on your side.
It's really, and then suddenly, it's like you develop some sort of level of mateship with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they start, instead of you being the photographer who's trying to organize them, you're just like, oh, he's kind of a bit like one of us.
But the other thing is, if you say, oi, shut up, and then they don't shut up, then you're like, oh
no,
where do I go from here?
How do I go back
and
down?
But that's the teacher mentality that I like, is the, you've always got to be the alpha.
Yeah.
Like if you say, oi, shut up, and they don't, you've got to go next.
Because they can't get out a taser.
Yeah. Because if they're walking all over you, it'll never stop. Yeah. Like you have to, in some way, you've got to get the job done.
Note yourself, bring taser to weddings.
Taser. But I think, a mix between, you've got to be real and you've got to say, we've got a time limit here, and okay, here's a good one. You just get the bride on your side, because everyone's terrified of the bride. Like, she's the princess on the day, and if she is telling the guys off, I've noticed that she has a lot of sway, a lot of pull on the day.
Yeah,
but you don't want to say, excuse me, can you just give me a hand here and get these guys into line? But if you say, look, it's Julie's day here. Julie, look at these guys. And she's like, or you guys.
Or something of that,
my best Julie accent.
Oh, you guys. Oi, come on. I was going to say, maybe in the past I have resorted to saying, this is on very few occasions where I have said, look, I know you guys want to have fun and that's awesome, but I need to deliver some images to these guys.
Sure.
So just for 2 minutes, just
be normal.
And I'm not sure if that works well or not. I think it has worked well, but I also think that's a pretty easy way to get them offside. I don't know.
Well, that's right. They might behave, but then are you going to get,
Well, yeah, is it just going to be the bare minimum? Later than,
you know, you might have burnt your...
Or are they going to loathe me for the rest of the day? Yeah.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's hard. It's not easy.
And look, I think you learn as you go.
Yeah.
And even now, I'll do something and I'll go, that didn't work.
That didn't work, yeah.
I'll do that again.
Oh, every day, every wedding, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, why'd I do that?
That didn't work, yeah. So what's the big learning moment here is that, for me, it's get them on your side by kind of... If you're going to hassle them, hassle one so that the rest...
Are siding with you.
Siding with me. And then balance that with just straight logic of, hey guys, we've got 10 minutes. You're using up precious time. Mm. We could all be back doing something more enjoyable, drinking, whatever. Mm. Let's just get this done. Boom, boom, boom. Mm. And maybe if you... Here's a bit of a back pedal. Right at the beginning, tell everyone, this is what's happening. We're going to do these shots here, this shot here. This is like the next half an hour. This is what's going to look like.
Mm.
And the sooner we get it done, the sooner we're back here. Mm. I always bring up the drinking part. I mean, however you want to motivate people. And that way they know what's going on. They know what's expected of them, what's happening next. I think that's probably a good way. If you've got a rowdy bunch, you sit them down and go, okay, boys, look, we've got to work as a team here. Blah, 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 blah. Reward is we get this done quickly.
I'll tell you what I'd like to talk about next. I'll tell you, okay. I have heard two or three instances in the last couple of weeks of people losing data from hard drives because they weren't correctly backed up. And this shocks me and worries me on behalf of brides everywhere. So, I don't know. That's something I want to talk about next podcast.
Okay,
because I think that's a lot of stuff to talk about.
I think if I get really into it now, down,
wow.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm.
I think we could talk about that.
Mm.
It's been, from my perspective, I've gone from having a home office to now having like a mobile office. Mm. And man, backing up when you're mobile.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing.
Oh, it's hard work.
Yeah.
I had to pretty much take everything I built this perfect system and it was completely useless because I had to lug it around and all the hard drives plug in and I got this. Anyway, I could really rant about
that. Dive in. Yeah.
Nice. All right. We're good to go?
Yeah.
Oh, is this the... hey, so everyone, thank you for people out there who are on Facebook and our Instagram page, which we've posted one picture. We're really doing well on Instagram. Other than that, if there's one thing I'd like to tell the general audience, it would be to get out there and make it snappin'.
Oh, no. What's that noise? Okay.
That was the wrong noise and your phone was on mute.
There we go. That worked that time. That's the traffic jam one.
One job! One job, Tom.
Okay, I'll stop this.
Okay.
Should I stop it?